Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
What is happening, Orange County? Paul, how are you?
I'm doing good. Can I tell you two weird things?
Can I ever stop you from doing? Give me two weird things.
Yeah. Today is
our guest is even less smiling. He knows too well.
No, because I've been calling
Tom.
Oh, Tom.
That's right.
He's been calling.
Hey, Tom. So what do you got for us, Tom?
That's okay. Today is my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Don't tell everybody that. And the biggest birthday gift you could give me, you did today here, because in all the years we've done this show, we've only ever lost the episode of one show.
The lost episodes
that
of OC Talk Radio.
And I did it simply as they had come in and done it, and I thought it was such a powerful story. I said, come on and let's tape another one. We had some great, powerful stuff. We ran it. I lost it. For a year, they chased me, and I did what you're never supposed to do. I just stopped calling them. I was so embarrassed, I simply gave up.
Wait, so we're celebrating your birthday, and we're taking away your public shame in the one go?
And my guilt.
One fell swoop.
My Catholic guilt is going to go away, because we have a chance to bring them back, and we've made a deal where we're going to do one more.
I mean, removing
this is a guest to listen to.
Removing Catholic guilt. This episode is a biblical proportion.
We will take your picture off the Project Independence Star.
All right. It's no longer, it's being removed as we speak. You know, we have something else to celebrate, by the way.
What?
Which, by the way, first and foremost, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Okay, and I'm glad that that's the case. I've been laughing for, what we have to celebrate for is that this show's been on the air for 4 years.
Has it really? Is this around when we started?
4 years, weekly.
Wow.
Okay, yeah.
Wow, so we've got two birthdays to celebrate
here.
Yeah,
we've got two birthdays to celebrate, but I will tell you, one of the things that Paul and I talk about this all the time, the show came about in a very serendipitous way.
Totally.
Paul said, hey, baby boomers. I said, I have no clue what I'm doing. He goes, never mind. And said, okay, do it on a monthly basis. Sure, no problem. Next thing you know, it's 4 years later, right?
And that was when you were going through one of your, I'll say yes to everything.
And it was my Jim Carrey 6 months at the age it turned 50. And then we have had a lot of moments of serendipity. This one, I didn't walk in here. Sorry, I didn't check Facebook, so I had no idea it was your birthday. Okay, but I also had no clue that this was actually how things were aligning. And I am tickled pink to see that this is a happy birthday, Paul. I'm glad I could show up with something for you today.
I'm not making the light of this. This takes a great burden off because these people do great work. I'll let them explain what they do, but they place people with, I don't know how to politely say this, but disabilities into jobs, people who would otherwise not be able to be independent.
Okay, all right, okay. So,
and
Tom,
they brought in some...
He's on a roll, let's leave him be.
They brought in some of their clients, some of their people they've done, and they told the most touching, amazing stories. And for me to lose this, I'm still not totally... I'm going to recommit it and go back and look one more time at our archives and see if there's some miracle I can still find this.
So with that being said, Tom, a.k.a. Paul Roberts, okay, I would like to introduce...
I always wanted to be Tom. I always thought Tom was a cool name, so that's okay anyway.
I'm never going to be your Jerry. Not your thing there. But I do want to introduce Paul Roberts' gift for his birthday.
Oh, now I'm uncomfortable on so many levels.
So Todd, no, I won't even Paul, go Paul already kind of started down the path, okay? But please take a minute, introduce yourself, and tell people who you work for and why you are here today. And thank you so much, by the way, for accepting the invitation.
Oh, absolutely.
I know we reached out to each other on LinkedIn, and I've been wanting to have you guys on for a while. Again, this is just added blessings, what just happened with Paul. So,
well, and we certainly at Project Independence consider this a continuation of our conversation.
Sure is.
We started it with some clients who were in here, and Paul, Tom. We'll redo it, and it'll be better.
Tell us what Project Independence
sounds like.
My name is Todd Eckert. I'm the director of development at Project Independence, and we are actually in our 42nd year, beginning our 42nd year. Thank you for
Orange County. Do you do?
We support people with adults with developmental disabilities, mm-hmm. which throughout Orange County, we have again done that for 42 years.
And it's amazing.
It's in all different aspects. We help them with finding housing, finding roommates, finding jobs, finding volunteer positions. We have three major divisions. We have day programs and our supported employment and independent living, and then we also have our supported living.
Mm-hmm. And well. We talked a little bit before we went on there about how some of the circles that you and I have basically turns out cross. And they're people that are points of connection, and when you start looking and talking about those people that we're talking about here that are connect that we share, it makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of big hearts out there that are basically involved in
tremendous. But I think the importance. In fact, the state has leaned into us lately because we have always operated from the premise of an inclusive model. Mm-hmm. But these are
and tell people semantics. What that is for you.
Well, in our world, the semantics make sense. But to explain it, the very basics is we're very, very we're used to what we call sheltered workshops, mm-hmm. which are truly provide a need where adults with developmental disabilities will gather at a central location, have transportation in, have a sense of purpose, maybe a job and an income aspect at that one location. Mm-hmm. We've always operated from the premise that an inclusive model where we reach into, inject into the bone marrow or the marrow of the community and get our people participating. And the reason is, one, is because there's huge benefits to them being out and about in the community
Absolutely.
Itself. But and the independence that stems from that, you know, learning how to get up on time and find transportation
confidence,
to work.
All aspects.
All the confidence. Mm-hmm. But we also discovered long ago the reciprocal benefit, because I think we as the public mm-hmm. have then gotten used to celebrating them right along with us, realizing there is very, very little difference. The sense of independence is what we all want. Mm-hmm. And even I was talking to my father the other day. I've now been with Project Independence for 3 years, and it had never occurred to my father, who's 91, to strike up a conversation with his backpacker at their mm-hmm. local market. Mm-hmm. But this is up in Washington State. They have a very, very rigorous program up there as well. And he said, I had no idea. He said, well, how do you get here? And the guy was very, very excited about, I take this bus to this bus, and I get here, and I have to be here by 9.
It's a sense of achievement and accomplishment.
You talk about independence, but mm-hmm. it's also my dad has the opportunity to say, okay, my shoulders come out of my ears. I don't feel like I have to speak to them differently or be patronizing. Mm-hmm. It's a magical, magical reciprocal benefit that we all get.
Can I take 2 minutes? And you've now totally
Again?
Reminded me of the story.
It's all coming back.
It's all coming back to me. You guys brought in somebody, and I want to say he
only
had,
because it's your birthday.
I want to say he had like Down syndrome or something like that.
I don't even
something
guess.
Very disabling, and which physically sets him apart. And I understand. Too often we take people with mental disabilities.
He's differently abled,
and we put them mm-hmm. somewhere else so that we think they'll be safe, and that people won't stare at them
mm-hmm.
and make fun of them.
Yeah, we do the same thing for seniors.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And so, and how great, we found a place, and you're saying, no, we're going to mainstream these people. We're going to bring them back into society, and we're going to risk that somebody's going to feel uncomfortable or scared or say something mean or whatever. We're gonna bring these two worlds back together. And you brought in a young guy who worked at Trader Joe's.
I forgot.
This guy, and you brought in the manager of the Trader Joe's, and I was doing the interview on that one, and I said, all right, I got to be honest, let's ask the uncomfortable question. Were you at all worried that your customers would go, ooh.
To the manager.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ooh. Or this guy's going to say something, he's going to do something, he's going to drop something, or just his mere presence mm-hmm. is going to scare people away.
Mm-hmm.
Good, nice, church-going suburban women like myself or my wife, you know, because I said
they barely talk to their neighbors.
I would feel afraid to bring people into our environment here. They're going to make a mistake. They're going to make people feel uncomfortable, and people are going to just quietly go away. He said, "Yes, we were scared to death."
Creighton, it's killing me.
But as we brought this young man in. Mm-hmm. And saw his enthusiasm, he said, it has what we feared we were doing turned out to be the greatest thing we'd ever done. Not just because it made us feel good.
So what does that tell you, Paul? And we talk about this all the time, right? Yeah. It's the fear of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and I, you know, it's funny because, again, coming on to this, doing this for 4 years, last year, I don't know about you guys, but last year was a bizarre year just all around.
Yes.
Started off in a certain energy and vibe, and it ended up in a different spot, and, you know, I had personal stuff with my parents who are older, and you know, it kind of like I woke up on the 23rd, I think it was, or 24th of December. I'm thinking, huh, wow, I actually could be celebrating Christmas without my mother right now because of a medical diagnosis earlier in March, and yeah. I've been so occupied that I didn't even wasn't even aware of that, and that completely changed my state of mind. But the thing we always talk about, okay,
yeah, your parents aren't here forever.
Right? Well, yes, and what we talk about is this fear of unknown. Whether it's the fear of unknown about, you know, your parents getting older, you basically facing medical issues, people that have different abilities that basically we are encountering, you know, seniors. What do I do with somebody that basically has incontinence, and all of a sudden I'm having to look at it because it's basically all over my sofa, you know. And we do everything other than prepare. We actually run in the opposite direction, try to basically live with our blinders on. And one of the
things... Not going to happen to me.
Well, but one of the... Yeah, not as going to happen to me. But one of the things I really realized, Paul, and thank you again for the opportunity of doing this show. I realized that even... And people will ask me this all the time. It's like, how do you monetize the show? How is this show basically relevant to your design practice, right? And it's not. What it's relevant to...
It's your life.
It's my life. And it's relevant to the fact that if I had a thing that I'm thankful for when it comes to this show that is beyond measurable, is that it allows us to actually talk about some of this stuff and dispel some of the unknown, hopefully. Whether it's about preparation for dying or a hospice or whatever.
Or being around people with mental disabilities.
I told Paul, I remember when I first started, it's like the one thing I don't want to do is talk about incontinence for an hour or adult diapers, right? I said, other than that, everything is pretty
Although that will be next week's show.
That will be next week's show. So, you know, if you're really wanting to...
Sponsored by Depends.
And not to get anal, we'll really get into it. Right?
But just... Okay.
It's really what you're saying is a perfect example spoken by the manager of that Trader Joe's of what happens when you actually allow yourself to be exposed to the unknown.
And I don't speak for him, but here's what I recall him saying. He said,
we're just using it as an example.
I said, how did this turn out to be a good thing and not a bad thing? He said, well, yeah, it made us feel good. We're helping this kid out, and he was very excited, so everybody felt good about it on the team. He said, but more than importantly than that, the team came together.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
love this guy. They look out for this guy. They look forward to this guy.
Well, and Todd, let's talk about some of the nuts and
bolts. His enthusiasm is their enthusiasm.
There's actual quantifiable benefit.
There is a huge benefit, and that's why I call it the reciprocal benefit, is... And Creighton Wall is the young gentleman we're talking about, who keep in mind, we, for our supported employment division, we have a job developer who goes out, and it's not just, we go and find legitimate jobs. These are not workshop jobs. These are legitimate jobs that are
not made-up jobs just to give them something to do.
Yeah. And so we approach somebody like Trader Joe's, our job developer, and says, it's not that we're going to bring you a candidate. We're going to bring you the correct candidate because there's a whole different learning curve, you can imagine. And so some are more involved, more than somebody can possibly do in their learning curve comfortably. And we support the employer as well as the client, our own client. So with that said, Creighton was a perfect example. Creighton is, as you noted, he's incredibly
full of life, excitement.
He matches Trader Joe's dynamic perfectly.
And he's elect. He was electric. He was exciting.
He was just alive. And they said, how can we not? This is a guiding thing. This isn't, we'll bring him up to our level. No, this is just guiding this energy, and it matches their dynamic. Mm-hmm. He happens to work at the Crystal Cove Trader Joe's, so life is pretty good down there. But let me give you another anecdote about
that. Isn't it funny? Sorry, Todd, before you get off that. Isn't it funny, though? We don't assume any issues with identifying potential in what I would use kind of in passing, able-bodied, right? But, I mean, everybody's got freaking disabilities. Sometimes it's just emotional, right? But why we don't have any issues with recognizing potential and elevating it? And yet we feel very uncomfortable when it comes to something with people with different abilities. Hold on a second, Paul. Okay, with different abilities. Right. I mean, I will tell you something that is to this vein that is related to what I do for a living. I've been a certified aging in place since 2008. I have been interior designer in commercial settings and hospitality since 94, 98 maybe, okay? And I have always looked, and this means that why I'm saying those dates is because this means that American Disabilities Act has been in effect basically as long as I've been practicing, okay? And never did
you cursing them out.
No, and that's my exact point. People curse out ADA, American Disabilities Act, which I think was 97, if I remember correctly.
Good guess.
Yeah, somewhere in that range. And basically, they all look at it as being a burden. They all look at it as being a problem. They all look at it as being some additional regulation.
And what's
hindrance.
The minimum we can do what, to
and,
meet
and, and the qualification for compliance is the minimum compliance. And I have said it, and I've put it on my website for years. I've said, if you're smart as a commercial business, you should not be looking at ADA as minimum compliance. The ADA should be the beginning point for you to have a universal delight approach for what you do for your environments. Mm-hmm. Because if you do that, the benefits, esoteric and quantifiable, are measurable and multiple versus if you just look at it as being a problem. It's kind of like, is it a challenge or is it an opportunity? Mm-hmm. And so when you take that factor and you factor it into the actual human component and not just the physical environment, the same applies.
Yeah.
And as I recall, the manager of the
But the burden is on you to actually educate yourself enough to put yourself in a need to basically acquire knowledge so that you can basically evaluate it. If you are blinders on and you can't see it, you may actually miss out on an opportunity to engage somebody like
playing long ball. You know, any businessman. And let's say all these guys who have their ADA, they fought it. Now you have the baby boomers aging who have mobility issues, and suddenly their place is still accessible, and suddenly the dollars are still coming in.
And they have the discretionary income to spend,
yes,
right? And yet your space basically does not accommodate that. And think if you are in a market that's very competitive, and none of your competition basically has this accommodation, mm-hmm. and you basically become somebody that does, what does that do? It provides you as a sole provider of that environment.
Which is why...
For PTSD, for veterans, you know, I mean...
People with adult disabilities.
Well, and even why the warm and fuzzy factor, which is why we all think that these businesses reach out and do the warm and fuzzy philanthropy, is like baloney. Right now what's happening is businesses are finding there's huge benefits to employing the disabled as well as the developmentally disabled, not just because of the publicity, but because of what you were talking about, Paul, is that, and now it's built into the business models, is what are called CSRs, corporate social responsibilities, are built in as good business practice into the business models. Right. It's fascinating.
And let me give you just three. I just want to spit these out, and then I'll shut up. The three that I remember him saying, the manager of the Trader Joe's, was one, it built team building within our organization. Mm-hmm. They fed off of this kid's excitement that he was there, and they looked out for him, and they came together and looked forward to him.
Caused cohesion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The second was the customers didn't reel from it. They responded to it in a real way, which meant they looked forward to talking to this kid. They fed off of his enthusiasm, mm-hmm. his excitement. And then the third tangible one that I remember him saying is, and this employee was the best one we ever had. We couldn't get anybody to stay in this job. It's a low-paying bagger job.
Oh, my gosh, the retention. Let me give you two examples, and I think you may have even spoken with Marcel. Marcel just celebrated 27 years at IKEA. Bobby Spitzberg has been with Marriott, just celebrated. In fact, Marriott's grandson came to celebrate Bobby's 40th anniversary.
Wow.
Let's find an employee that's been at a job for 40 years.
We should have that one on the checkout show.
Let's find a company.
Bobby's on our board.
Let's find a company that actually acknowledges that kind of dedication this day.
Well, Marriott, you've
named some really good ones for that actually have that.
We have 66 employers, roughly 125 of our clients.
So with that being said, a part of the thing that we do on the show, and I kind of give you a heads up on this before, is the people that we sit down with here, like yourself, I really want to know, and especially when it comes to something that's care in a way and supportive services, it's a hard thing to be involved in. So usually people have their own personal journey of how they found themselves basically in the current role that they are. Now, I know that you have a diverse background. Okay,
to say the least,
right? So for whatever level of comfort that you may have, okay, Todd, please regale us with that, because I'm really curious and interested in people's journey. Like, how do you find your way? Because I believe it's a combination of serendipity. It's a combination of happy accidents. Mm-hmm. You know, you turn a left instead of turning a right when you thought all you were going to do is turn a right, and you find yourself on this journey and path that maybe is less traveled, but you find yourself in a situation where you have not only a purpose, but possibly a passion for what you do that keeps you engaged. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard thing as we get older, that we continue to retain a certain drive to wake up every morning, especially when the job is a hard one to do.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're probably explaining why my background is diverse, is because I truly do want to wake up and go, I'm ready to, wherever I'm headed. And that's been, as you mentioned, incredibly diverse. I mean, I was raised in the Northwest, went to the school in the Midwest, ended up in California, owned a business building interactive exhibits in San Francisco throughout the area. Got very familiar with nonprofits, who were the bulk of my customers.
Yeah.
Was at the same time starting an acting career, moved to when I realized I was almost eking a living out of that in
San Francisco. Which is a big accomplishment.
Well, in San Francisco, that's a small market. Yeah. So I realized it's a volume game. I moved to L.A. and did it full-time for 15 years. So
kind of stuff did you do?
You know, you say passion, and I say I was one of those odd actors who was not, not burdened by passion. I love movies, I love film, but I treated it as a business, and that helped. I had friends who had Yale degrees in acting and could blow me off stage and screen, but I booked because I treated it like a business. Most of the shows I did are off the air now. I mean, I of course did all the soaps and stints on the soaps, and I did things like Ally McBeal and Malcolm in the Middle and Just Shoot Me.
Okay. I loved Ally McBeal.
Miami. Oh yeah, it was good. I talk to me later about it. I'll tell you what my episode was. But no, it was
David
it was really
Kelly
fun.
Show. Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. And then I, at 15-year run, you kind of know when you've had enough. And my girls were born. We had a wonderful home in Topanga Canyon, and wanted to give them 10 years back east before we knew we'd resettle in California, which we did 4 years ago. So we were back in Annapolis where I did. And that's that actually kind of leads to where I am now, is I obviously I'm not going to act full-time in Annapolis,
sure.
Maryland.
Why did you pick Annapolis?
My wife at the time was living in Annapolis, and I was a cute little town.
Annapolis is cute.
Yeah, it's kind of a California East Coast town. So I had a great time, did commercial real estate for a while, got to know the area very, very well. So I was recruited by a foundation there for the local hospital, saying, you know, all the cast of characters. The transition from actor to commercial real estate, I was ecstatic because I was no longer representing a commodity of me. It was something else. Mm-hmm. And then that transition to the foundation, it was great because I was representing a greater cause than just the buck. Mm-hmm. And so then I come out here and find Project Independence, and they find me, and it's magical.
How did you find them?
How did I find them? It truly was happenstance. I thought I was going to go back to work for a hospital foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to Hogue and Mission and St. Joe's and just thought this, and these guys found me. It's something that there was a fear factor to it. I didn't think I knew the language, put that in heavy quotes. And they taught me differently. They said, no, just address them. Because I've dialed it back, but I can be a smart aleck for being a PG here. And do not talk down. Do not talk down. Come at them full, and it's magical. They're no different than you or I. So as Paul discovered when he was interviewing the clients when they were in here, in fact, he had mentioned there was a gentleman. I don't remember the manager came in. We had a Home Depot. Home Depot is one of our wonderful employers. And we had a manager. I was going around doing when I first joined. I said, "Well, I'll go around and thank these. I'll commercialize us. I'll go out and thank these 66 employers we have and say thank you so much for stepping up." And I finally got stopped by a manager at the Home Depot in Santa Ana. He said, "Todd, I think you have to dial it back a bit. I think we love working with Ben. We hired Ben, but what happened when we hired Ben? Talk about reciprocal." He said, "I used to refer to my team as aprons on the floor. Hopefully you can find them. Hopefully they'll be resourceful. And hopefully they'll be nice to the customer." We hire Ben, and Ben came in there gangbusters, ecstatic to have his first job, got there early, read the newsletter, understood the products. Customers loved talking to him. He said it raised the whole bar. Suddenly my team was showing up on time. They were far more engaging with the customers. They understood the products. And so the bar is being raised.
Anybody who's ever been involved in a team environment understands exactly what you're talking about. You have somebody that is basically a catalyst for change. You could spend unbelievable resources, financial and otherwise, retreats, training, whatever, forever, and not have an effect of somebody basically by example and without basically doing it in your face, coming in and actually by example, showing a different way, raising the bar is an exactly correct way to put it. And all of a sudden, everybody around that is, you know, not walking around basically being pissy, but, you know, is a normal person, is looking at that, and it engages. And it is a contagious thing. That energy.
But let me thank you. Just explain why.
Let
it's
me
easy
challenge
to get out of bed
you both,
in the morning
though.
And come to work.
It's let
contagious.
Me challenge.
The inspiration's right there every time I come.
Rod works with big resorts, Four Seasons, the what's the one down in the
Monarch,
Ritz-Carlton, yeah, all that kind of stuff. Very snooty, very high luxury brands. If you put somebody with a learning disability, Down syndrome, something, in one of those environments, wouldn't they be terrified that they would
scare
the customer?
Paul, you read my script because I just came from Bobby Spitzberg's 40th anniversary party, and I was leaving the room. They said he's the only employee that more often than not, guess when they leave the hotel, and that's a very nice hotel, the Marriott over in Irvine.
Yep.
When they leave, they make sure to say goodbye to Bobby. Mm-hmm. So tell me if that bar is not being raised.
No.
And Marriott says that matches our customer service
absolutely.
To a T.
In fact, I do want to celebrate some of these brands too, without really calling anybody out one way or the other. But hospitality, the spirit of hospitality in a lot of cultures, some of them do it better than others, but they all have this. And to quote my co-host
on
the other show, it's in their DNA. Craig Sullivan on Check Out California is. It is in hospitality's DNA to care. What sometimes happens is we get so caught up in the minutiae of the reports and the projections and all this stuff that we lose focus momentarily, in most cases, of what really counts. And what you're talking about used to be the porter at the front of the hotel that basically asks about how a person's daughter was and whether she graduated from college and what's her next plans. And this was a porter. And they've been there for 20 years. And you basically, every summer that you went to that hotel, there was a personal connection. There was
the groundskeeper, the bellboy.
Yeah. And that really is what differentiates the experience. And we're all experiential society now. I mean, anybody who you will talk to will tell you, if you are to be successful in retail and successful in a business, successful as a company, there has to be an experiential component to what it is that is your internal culture.
There's too much competition, and it's all about recidivism.
And if you're smart, you use that for your advantage in order to thwart off some of that competition.
Well, and that's why we are not selling our employees. They are everybody's game. They totally get it now. And we're, you know, every day it's a new horizon. But for the most part, as I say, we have now 66, and we've got the T-shirt
laid out. Let's lift this up for a
second.
Call some
of them out.
Let's lift it up from here.
I happen to explain this. This is the T-shirt from last year's walk. And these are our sponsors from the walk. Many of them look familiar. Some of them are big. Some of them are small. Many of them employ our clients. All of them stepped up as financial sponsors.
Go ahead and read off some of these names just so people that can't see them on the screen.
Again, Mitsubishi Electric is talk about somebody who's built it into their DNA, their corporate DNA, always steps up for the development of the disabled. Home Depot, of course. Knott's Berry Farm is wonderful to us. Advanced Dental Care, Jeremy Jorgensen over there, totally gets the logic of giving back and what the benefits are. Union Bank has been magical. Catalina Flyer, there's a wonderful story in there I can tell you later. Serve, all these
now,
guys.
Can I just stop you? A couple of those sound like technical search jobs. How could somebody who's developmentally disabled work on the Catalina Flyer, a complicated boat, and not fear they're going to...
So before we go, though, we're going to take a break.
Yeah.
Before we go... Todd, give people the website for Project Independence.
Thank you. It's fairly easy. It's www, though I can't say it. It's proindependence.org.
I like that.
Isn't that easy?
Well, it's not only Project Independence with pro abbreviated, which makes it an easy website, but it's also pro as in positive.
Yes, proindependence.org.
We are pro-independence.
And the reason that happened is because we did what is unheard of in the nonprofit world in 2007. We merged Vantage, where there was Vantage, which did day programs. There was Project Independence, which did mainly supported employment and independent living. Mm-hmm. There was redundancy there. We and our we still have the same executive director, Debbie Marsteller, who's been in this for 36 years now, said, let's join forces. Mm-hmm. Well, like churches, everybody's got their own ego, everybody's got their own ideas, we're not merging. Well, and so it's unheard of in the nonprofit world. And
especially said, nope. In the nonprofit world.
And yeah. We joined forces, we were value adds to both, and boom. And they had Pro-Independence, they were called Project Independence, and Vantage gave that up, and we retained the name Pro-Independence.
I really like the positive aspect of the name, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, maybe it was intentional, maybe it was not, but to be pro-independence, you are in favor of independence, is awesome. Talk about branding. We're going to take a break, Todd. We'll come back.
Okay.
You guys check out Pro-Independence, the website, and let's just give them the date, because you mentioned something about an event.
Absolutely.
You got one coming up, so we're going to talk about that after the break. Okay. I want to talk about the Catalina Flyer story. Mm-hmm. I've taken them many a times, basically go scuba diving. And then we'll let Paul have a couple more minutes. So let's take a break, and we'll be right back with Todd Eckert from Project Independence.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
Do you want a free analysis of your inbound marketing? Do you want it in 30 seconds or less? Then check out Marketing Grader, the free marketing tool from HubSpot. It's simple. Just go to marketinggrader.com, enter the URL that you want to analyze, and Marketing Grader will instantly give you a detailed report grading your lead generation, mobile marketing, social media, competitive benchmarking, and more. It's simple, it's powerful, and it's free. MarketingGrader.com.
All right, see, we get these guys to stop talking and come back to the mics here. We got the Rad Life back on air.
On the air?
These guys are brainstorming. We should do this. And
actually, that was me allowing you to have a moment before. Now you need to sit back there, Paul Tom. Paul Tom, you know, I have to say, Paul Tom sounds like a hair salon, right?
I know.
Paul Tom.
Yes. Oh, I'll be going to Paul Tom.
Hi, I'm
going to
yes, Paul Tom. I need a little bit off the top there. Can I go to Paul Tom? Do you guys do straight razor shaves too? Okay. But we're back, everybody. Thanks for joining us for another episode of The Rad Life. And, Paul Mitchell's on the T-shirt.
I'm pointing that out just because they're my favorite.
Great location, by the way. Yeah, I love Paul Mitchell.
Magical place.
Yeah, and a shout out for their location in
Soka.
Yeah.
Tell me about the Catalina Flyer.
So before we went, well, hold on a second. Before we went to break, we were talking to Todd Eckert, development. Why am I blanking? Todd, what's your title?
Director
of Development.
Yeah, Graham Poobah.
It's a DD. It's a Director of Development at Project Independence. And give them out the website again.
Proindependence.org.
Be in favor of independence, proindependence.org.
Easy to remember.
And before we went to the break, we were talking about some of these great corporate partners that are involved with Project Independence.
That employ people.
Many of these employ people. You picked on one. You're going to come after Catalina Flyer.
Well, you mentioned there was a story to Catalina Flyer.
Well, I have to offer it because this is fantastic, and I'll give you there's another plug for a wonderful organization. Catalina Flyer sponsored our journey over at the backtrack.
Is this the adventure?
Here. Access to adventure.
Access to adventure.
This is, I'll try to be short-winded. Good luck. But Access to Adventure was a program.
Company.
We believe in independence, like all of us. You were referencing outdoor activities. And we're essentially a contractor to the regional center, right? Mm-hmm. They reimburse us. Mm-hmm. Some of our stuff we lose money on offering the service, but we've got to offer the full spectrum or nothing. So we do all that. Part of that program for a long while was the adventure program, getting them out canoeing, hiking, trips, camping. When that funding left the building, they said, we don't need that for independence. We have a remarkable staff.
And the nonprofit world, the funding mechanisms have really changed, right?
Yeah, I mean, dramatically. Right. Well, I wish they had changed dramatically. I think our rates are
not necessarily to the better.
No. Yeah. No. Mostly not.
Yeah.
And our rates have been stagnant for years now. So we're basically don't get me started. This is why I was hired to raise
yeah,
money.
Yeah, you're definitely a challenging process, and you have to really be very good about it. Yeah,
it's very tough, but. With Access to Adventure was a program that we desperately wanted to reintroduce. We ran it on volunteers, but our remarkably compassionate and underpaid staff ran it on a volunteer basis, and they were getting fried. So we had to do away with it. Last year, I found a family foundation. I live on Balboa Island, and there's a friend of mine down there has a family foundation, the Gladys Foster Family Foundation. They stepped up. They said, we're going to underwrite this. Their son has a brain injury, and he was put himself back into his independence through kayaking. Mm-hmm. And they said, if you want to run these programs...
At the Newport Beach Aquatic Center?
Yeah.
That's where I kayak,
yeah. And we did that initially. We did an outrigger adventure, but they underwrote it, and the foundation, and they doubled their gift last year. It's a great fundraising vehicle, and one of the events that we have, and we're making it an annual event, the reason I'm pointing to Catalina Flyer on our T-shirt, is they subsidized us on the journey over. We used the one off Balboa Island, which is, again, right across from where I live, so it's
right by the fun zone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then we got over there. We teamed up with the Island Conservancy.
I see their logo on here, too.
They charged us basically a cost fee, and that cost fee was picked up by the Costa Mesa Foundation stepped up and said, we want to participate in this. This is so important that these people get out and about, not just work, not just have a place to live, but expand their abilities through outdoor adventures.
So life enrichment, not just life-sustaining.
They paid for the island tour over there. So it was a magical day that we're going to do again in August. We love the Catalina Flyer. They're out of commission until March, which drives me crazy. Because I go over there, as you said, and I go over there quite a bit. But we have all sorts of people on this.
Well, I want to give a shout-out to a common buddy of ours, Mr. Steve Gostin.
Steve Gostin. To know him is to love him.
Yep. So, Steve, shout-out to you. The world's cross, my friend. The paths cross, and circles are within circles. So
Steve, in fact, sits on our board. He's a proud member of our board.
But talk about how, maybe it's not the Catalina Flyer, but some of these other things where you wouldn't think they would employ somebody who is mentally, developmentally disabled because the job is too demanding
We got Paul Mitchell in here, the school. By the way, Costa Mesa. So what?
Well, again, they are a sponsor, not an employer, but they, Jean-Paul DeJario, who is, I loosely know, is, he's built that even when he was selling shampoo out of his trunk of his car. He knew he had to give back. And you look at the dynamic.
Part of their whole culture.
Oh, my gosh. Yep. It's remarkable. They step up time and time and time again. Mm-hmm. They had an Access to Adventure day at the spa. At their school, you can just imagine how cute this whole scene was. We're getting mani-pedis and haircuts and styling. It was a bundle of wonderful. Their staff.
And how
their
did your people react to that? To having common luxuries that they're trying to survive day to day.
How would anybody
react? Wait, hold on a second. Did you say common luxury to massage? Mister, I haven't been touched and then I brought...
You got me thinking it's a common luxury.
I actually brought in a massage therapist for him on the air one time.
He looks a little pampered.
Was that 2 years? 4 years ago.
You're right.
You're doing another massage.
Correctly here. But I'm just saying, you know, obviously, I don't know anybody that's mentally disabled or what the correct terminology is, but
Rod?
But I would assume that they don't get pampered, that they don't get taken... care of in that way.
Well, let's look at it seriously for a second. It is pampering, certainly, but it's also being treated well.
Yes,
and,
right.
And we're talking
another
about jobs
pampering,
and being treated
right.
well by teammates and
people wait on you. Right.
But to actually sit in the chair and be, how good does that feel to all of us? I mean, it was a magical day. So it's pretty much
I want to dispel something here too, because you know when you what you just said, Paul, the way that you said it, there's almost like an assumption that people with
disabilities,
different abilities.
Okay,
people with
Thank
different
you.
Abilities.
Thank you. That's a good
okay,
way
let's change the friggin' D
like
from
that.
Disabled to different.
I like
okay,
that.
People with different abilities. Okay, there's sort of this misnomer that it is people that are struggling. People that are coming from broken homes.
People that are different.
People that are different. They're sort of outcast to society. Okay? open your eyes, people. There are people in your own neighborhoods, in those exclusive, you know, walled-in, gated communities. There are people of all walks, shapes, walks of life, all levels of family structures, all kinds of family dynamics that maybe have different abilities. Mm-hmm. And the perfect way to basically make that as clear as day to you is look at all the veterans that are returning with PTSD or shell shock or things that are due from them serving the country. Those are people with different abilities. They may be temporarily, it may be for an extended period of time, but those are people that require us to deal with situations.
You bring up a very, very good point that there truly are different abilities. And give us 10 of what we call clients or consumers, and you will have 10 different sets of learning curves and disabilities.
Give me 10 abled people and I'll give you a different...
Exactly. Yeah. It's no different. And we have day programs, which many of them, really, their capabilities probably aren't there to have a paying gig. Mm-hmm. But this, I can't tell you how many times this has happened. Let's say we have somebody who we've maybe helped find an apartment or a roommate or set up a program where they have something to do by day with our day program coaches. The first thing they do when that happens, and they say, how can I give back? Oh, my God. That's completing. They know they're independent until they offer it back. So we have a group, in fact, that's a magical group that the register is going to go over and do a drive around with, who get up every morning, and their day program, initial job that day, is to volunteer at Meals on Wheels. They go to the senior center in Costa Mesa. They prep meals for homebound seniors and go out and deliver. You talk about magic happening.
Susan Papiri and Senior Serve and Meals on
Senior
Wheels.
Serve, they're our partners.
So you're taking developmentally disabled people that...
Who you could say have limited skills so they can't work that
able.
Job.
I mean,
but, oh my gosh, you knock on a door.
Let me just, because I do this, right? I pride myself on disrupting stuff.
You
right?
do?
Okay. Let me just say this. Todd's laughing. Guilty as charged.
There was
familiarity. All right, so familiarity. Okay. Here's the thing. Okay. Let me put the burden on society. Okay. Leadership. Call it not even society. Leadership. Okay. A good leader or a good leading entity looks at people for what they can bring and able to
do. What they can do.
Not what they cannot do.
Correct.
And if you do that, then everybody has something to contribute. Mm-hmm. The limitation or the disability is not in the person maybe we're looking at, but in our ability to imagine how they can actually contribute.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say the ugly word in the room, though, that I got to believe? And I might...
That's your job. That's in your DNA.
I might be the negative naysayer here.
Well, anybody who's been listening to this
politely. That's quite a build-up.
There is a ick factor to being around people with disabilities, like, ooh, an uncomfortableness that makes many of us, as much as we want to be careful and considerate and kind... uncomfortable.
Well, and I think to call it an ick or a discomfort, I think is truly needs to be said out loud.
Right,
because
yeah.
I think in this day of political correctness, we kind of can pen ourselves in to doing nothing.
Right.
And instead of saying,
or to putting them aside in a way where they're
like
taken care of.
Going back to my father, you know, didn't occur to him to talk to Brian at the market, and suddenly he was going, oh, Brian's just like my sons were, you know, wanting to find his own place and take the right buses to work. So you dispel that mystery. And I had to do that myself. When I was initially hired by our director, I said, well, I'm not really sure. How do I approach these people? I'm not, this is not my education. And she said, just talk to them. And that's what it is.
Yeah, but it was a lot of that differentiator was in your own head.
Oh, it was all in my own head.
Right.
And because many of them are just like a lot of our friends. They can be a pain in the rear. Because their personality is, you know, there's a personality there. So
does society do a disservice by trying to take seniors who have a nick factor when they're peeing in their pants, people, disabilities, we're uncomfortable around, and putting them, we protect them, we say, by putting them away somewhere?
Are we really protecting them or are we protecting ourselves?
That's what I'm getting at.
Well, I mean, there's a reason that Fairview is being closed down, and they're saying build these satellite hospitals to be more cost-effective, but also there's an element to saying it's not working to house. It's not working across the board. It's not financially sound. It's not socially sound. And there are, and Rad, I want to come back, and I'm going to call you Rad because I love that San Clemente Rad.
So it's the Rad life.
Even though I don't surf.
You should.
But, I should.
But I think that we have to pay attention. It's more efficient and it's more effective socially as well as financially.
Well, you know forever and ever and ever, because of simple, stupid stuff like, you know, zoning codes, they basically don't build senior housing in areas that are residential.
No.
They build them in commercial or light commercial zones, right. Zoned areas. Yet, if you really stop for a minute and think about it and take it one layer away from you, which is, let's say, your parent or an older family member, mm-hmm. and where you would see them house, and then take it forward and say, what happens to me? We're up there, you know, we're 20, 30 years maybe. At best, no, you're sooner, right? But basically,
my birthday,
you're going to find yourself in that environment. Yes, your birthday. Do you want to tell everybody what your birthday is? Because
it's my birthday.
Yeah, you look right on the precipice.
Well, you know, you should see. You should see him. You should see him in cargo pants.
There's a visual.
Oh God!
I turned 63 today. 63.
And by the way, just, you know, kudos to you. You're not wearing your cargo pants. I'm impressed.
Only because it's cold out.
Okay. So the thing about it though is, here's an example. It's not about differently abled, you know, developmentally abled or disabled people. We're talking about seniors. And society basically wants to build things, which there's a lot of market in it. There's a lot of money in it right now because we are completely understaffed and under, you know, infrastructured, if you will, to take care of seniors as 10,000 people turn 65 every day, mm-hmm. right? And we have, you know, 71 million people that are baby boomers basically in the country, right? But they build these buildings outside the realm of the familiar infrastructure, mm-hmm. the corner park, the you know, the proximity to multi-generational,
and
where I
locked.
Don't look out of my window and all I see are people like me, but actually see young people, maybe not a crying child next to me, but I see young people, I see families, I see life.
Well, you know what you're describing. You're describing the olden day. I mean, go way back where you've got high density, was the norm, high density urban dwelling, and I don't know why we're so in a hurry to be in this.
Well, what's funny is, out of financial necessity, it's really funny. There's a karmic justice to the planet, right?
Yeah, it's coming back to
that. There is, because of financial necessity, because of the recent recession, and we're not immune to another one. What has happened, and because of the ridiculous amount of demand and the shortage of supply on all of this stuff that has to do with aging, we are turning back towards a model of neighborhoods, of community support models to basically provide these essential services.
A house in the neighborhood that houses four or five old people.
You know, the old Golden Girls
model. It's environmentally sound. It's transportation.
Sustainable.
Yeah, it's sustainable.
Sustainable.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's where my aunt spent her last...
We'll call it high-density living because it sounds... But it's basically urban dwelling.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. We left a house behind in Annapolis. It was 5,000 square foot colonial, 30 minutes out of D.C., 3 acres of rolling lawn and all this kind of stuff. And I went, all it was just this ongoing project. Mm-hmm. And my kids were out and about doing their school stuff and mm-hmm. their sports. And I thought, why do we need this? It's just more places to vacuum. And it's, you know, I don't want to talk it down. That's appropriate for points in your life. But as I look at this, and you talk about mixed use, there's a perfect example on Harbor Boulevard, Harbor Village, where many of our clients live, mm-hmm. maintain their own places. It's not specifically for that, but there's subsidized housing in there, which is mm-hmm. where we have vouchers for. And then you have the quote-unquote regular population. Mm-hmm. And it's a magical balance. It really is.
Well, it's real life.
And it's real life.
It's real life. This is the thing.
You don't have the ick factor then.
But take a look at...
Because you've eliminated
circle.
The unknown.
Yeah.
Take a look at the senior alternatives. You're talking about the... what do they call them now? Where you live in a house. There's a term for that. Board and care. My aunt, who we well documented on the show, passed away a few months ago at 93. In the last couple of years of her life, she was very disabled. And could hardly take care of herself, but didn't have the money to move into a place. And so Meals on Wheels and other things, she was basically housebound in this little apartment. And finally, enough was enough. And she didn't have enough money to move into one of these assisted living mm-hmm. facilities. So we moved her into a board and care. And even there, even though she's in a neighborhood, it's locked mm-hmm. to keep her from wandering out. and to keep other people from wandering in.
That unfortunately,
and she never went outside.
That unfortunately is the operational model of that particular board of care, because there is ways to basically enhance that.
And the neighbors weren't particularly thrilled that they were there.
Well, and I think that's going to change. You and I, Paul, have talked about this. As a more baby boomer population moves into that situation, the demands for certain things being different, everything from programs that are offered, services that are offered, getting them out and doing stuff, independence possibly of whoever is maybe able to still drive but is a resident of that, you know, taking their lead on that, those are going to change. That is the current model is unsustainable or marketable, to be honest.
We even have in our program, we have many, many seniors who have been with the program for decades. I mean, they've been with Project Independence for we've been around for 42 years for almost the entire time, if not the whole time.
And these are seniors,
with special needs. Or developmental disabilities. So with that said, you can imagine marrying those two worlds, but oddly enough, it kind of lends itself to it, because already they've got this infrastructure. And we also have a...
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
No, but we're also, the magic of science, many of our clients were, their life expectancy 20 years ago would have been very short, and they're outliving their support, which is their family. They're outliving their support system, which is why I've been brought in to bolster support.
The biggest fear of any parent.
The state is slow to build up ahead of steam.
Well and I'm going to add another layer that of reality that I know it only dawned on me relevant to this when you're talking about people with special needs. Recently, is that as we always think about this as being sort of, it's limited to a certain age factor. Like in our mind, we package it in this way. I don't know, for whatever reason. But the reality is this. Imagine if you are the parent of somebody that has special needs and you have the means to basically provide for that person in their own home, but then also required to basically tap into something like Project Independence for employment opportunity, skill development, what have you. Now, you as a parent, an able-bodied parent that is getting older,
start to panic. How do you secure a safe continuation? You know how you do
when
it.
You're gone,
because you won't be there to help them.
We have a tremendous amount of the. A tremendous amount of our donor base is tied to us very personally. They maybe have a son or a daughter, a niece, nephew in our program. Many of them totally get it and are building us into their estate wills. They're saying, oh my gosh, suddenly they're going, I'm not going to be around. Yeah. I have to make sure that Project Independence stays viable. So we have a planned giving department. We have it's not now. It's just it's going to come eventually. And it's a very, very tough conversation. The gentleman who was in here earlier talking about annuities, it's the same thing. You've got to plan your estate and going, oh, okay, Brian, we aren't going to be here for him. And we've had Project Independence for 35 years working with him. We want to make sure that they're still working with him when we're not here.
So I'm going to ask you a question, and you can answer it or not. But I'm curious. I'm curious relevant to... I won't even go national, but let's say local. How is the local leadership, the sort of policy-making leadership, how is that leadership engaged in this? Because this is a reality of our life in an aging population.
I will tell you, that's an interesting question, because, and this is something that I'll
or is it left to you guys to basically deal with?
We advocate, we're in Sacramento a lot, we're up there advocating for the cause. I will say, though, in our world, California, Washington State, Oregon, bear with me, I think New York, there's some states that have really stepped it up over the years. Landerman Act, when it kicked into gear and said, we have to care for these people at 22 years. I mean, that was California stepping up. Washington's done it in its own right.
And DT, you're throwing that out. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, the reason I even asked the question, Todd, I kind of set you up a little bit.
Have the answer.
You caused your own question. Because I was checking you out, as I usually do on social media for people that are coming in, just to get a sense. And I added you because I could tag, you know, that you're going to be on the show. But I looked, and you posted something that I thought was very interesting. You posted a picture of the Golden Gate Bridge. And
you're on my personal.
Yes, but I. But you know what? Because you're personally involved and invested in what you do professionally. That's why you have the passion to wake up every morning and basically do this. This is part of your makeup every day, right? It's what enriches your soul as well as maybe pays you a salary. Absolutely. Okay, so you said something relevant to the state of California. which, again, I am a big fan of the state of California, and I really...
You like the surfing references.
Well, I just... No, I don't surf, but I despise people who basically knock California down.
Oh, a lot of them out there.
Okay, and there's a lot, and there's a lot of them. Okay, you want to leave California, then leave California, but don't live in California, and while you're looking at the beach, basically badmouth the state, okay? And I'm not going to be popular.
But don't tell me you're chasing businesses out of here. It's like, please.
Okay.
They're staying.
Okay, develop your own sense of reality, for God's sake. So you said something. What did you say on that?
That, actually, I was stealing a quote from Robert Reich, who's a hero of mine, and so now you know where my politics lay. But he's the voice of reason, and he worked.
We are politically neutral here.
Mm-hmm. Oh well, then
Paul is.
Well,
I'm not.
I just this
I'm
is not. This is not.
I'm with you.
This is not.
This is not political. this is humanity.
Fact,
right? Yeah.
So, but I give
Robert
I
Reich,
give
the former labor secretary for under the Clinton administration, who now teaches at what, Berkeley?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Which says its own right, but I happen to be quoting him at that point, but I will say, in fairness to California, and I always am shocked that people push back, I think it's out of jealousy on California, and our
a donor state, ladies and gentlemen,
is that we have our, I look at my business of supporting people with developmental disabilities and how far ahead, we have a gentleman who works for us, severely autistic, but different talents, was brilliant at data entry. So we just give him his office. And his father had to pack up because of cost of living. He decided to move to Texas. Well, I don't want to say anything against Texas, but actually I do, but talk to me later.
It's not part of the show.
Just, as far as Eric goes, there's not nearly the support system for him in Texas. They just don't prioritize it. So there's very specific states that said it behooves us. And when you look at a California with, fifth largest GDP on an international scale, we're doing something
fifth
right.
Largest economy
and
in the
we're
world.
Supporting people with disabilities.
So what's the quote from Reich that you're teasing us about that you had in your
I think it was
media.
That quote.
It was relevant to that the state of California is the fifth largest economy, and that basically the prioritization of something like that is something to really, I think, as a Californian, you'd be proud of. Because
that we're supposedly overtaxing, and yet we are such a strong GDP.
So do we have specific spending programs? Do we have specific laws? Do we have specific...
We do. And I mentioned the
Lanham
Act.
That's why I asked the question.
And it was a specific act to support people. Because if you think about it, over the decades...
what's the act? I'm sure you threw it out.
It's called the Lanterman Act.
And, Lanterman?
Lanterman Act, yeah.
All right.
And it was a specific act to support people beyond the age of 22. Now, what happened, to our credit, over the decades, we've supported it within the schools, kids with special needs and or developmental disabilities, as we're coining it now. And tremendous support all the way up to 18. Then we said, we need to bump this up because they're staying at home until 22. Well, 22, then what?
Then what?
And these are also kids who are saying, I want to find a roommate. I want to find my own place. I want my independence.
But the assumption is after 22 that you basically have cured yourself from this.
Yes, you've been healed. Right. Go now and be a productive member. So it's not that and they just need a support system. So to their credit, they set up regional centers throughout California. And as I said, we're essentially a contract tour to the regional center of Orange County. Mm-hmm. And they, as much as they're a beat behind, as I say, we're struggling, but we have these incredible donors.
Hey, anybody who has kids, anybody who have kids that live in a dual language household, know that they speak later. You know that they are quote unquote behind. Mm-hmm. You know there are things that are basically taken and accepted as being slow, or behind, or different. Or, you know, one sibling has a strength in math and sciences, and the other one basically has a passion for sport. I mean, we don't evaluate people for being different in a manner that is hands-offish, and yet there are certain things we basically can't deal with. The interesting thing is, these people, and you said, you know, what happens after 22? Well, okay, if you're working, if you're a Trader Joe's, if you're a Paul Mitchell, I want to give a shout-out to High Times Wine Cellars, my good friend Monet Quick, Smith, whose family basically...
That family, man. Yeah. You talk about giving back. That is a...
You know what? Every single one...
I don't even drink
of,
and I go hang out
right,
there.
Yeah. And I want to give a shout-out to Monet, and I want to also thank her. We had a show, an episode of the Lux Live that aired today, that they made the facility available for us just before New Year's to shoot with one of the vodka companies there.
Oh, nice.
Carbonati Vodka, another shout-out for them. They're a great company as well. Embroider Me is another person that I basically figured... I'm just looking at this thing, and it's like I'm laughing as how many overlaps that I have in here. But the thing about it is this. The people that are working there that are with different abilities, these are people that are taxpayers. So as they get older, these people are going to become seniors that basically were taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't stop the support or availability of support services at the age of 22. You know, the infrastructure has to be built, and if you approach it as a universally applicable environment.
Or as a resource.
And a resource.
Yeah.
And a potential advantage
yeah.
by engaging everybody. You know, we have jobs, we have industries that are dying for jobs. We're talking about giving people visas to come into the country because jobs are not being filled.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we have resources that we need to just look at maybe from the left or right side of things, and I'm not being political, versus straight on the way we normally look through, filter them differently, and we may have actual resources available for us to basically guide for the benefit of all.
In the last 10 minutes of the show here, tell us what you do other than help find them work. How do you support them? How
yeah, what are some them? Of the other programs that you
have? The supported living and independent living is everything from, we call our staff bankers. They go in and help, maybe help them balance their checkbooks, pay their bills, make sure that they
basic
stay on
skills.
Track, filing, pay their taxes.
You know,
I have to give a shout out to these wonderful folks who come during tax season, and so you have to come and visit. It's endearing.
Yeah, they got to do their taxes.
I see my taxes in there because.
Well, I was going to say, I think a lot of people I know that have nothing to do with challenges in terms of
learning challenges
could benefit
taxes,
probably from
these
what you're
guys.
Talking
about. And I'm not sure if it's H&R Block, but I think it's just I think a lot of them are retired accountants and say, hey, I want to give back, and they come, they set up shop for the whole week, and our clients come in and do their taxes.
So what else do you do to help service? So you find them.
Day programs is also takes you away from what we've been emphasizing about employment and such.
Yeah.
Day programs are for folks who a lot of times are clients who maybe can't quite, aren't comfortable with it, probably live at home still, but need to be out and about.
Mm-hmm.
And you, again, will see our staff with a group, maybe at Target, learning to chop or learning, teaching life skills. And getting out
and
about.
It's a process,
a lot
right,
of them, so. It's kind of fun. They will go over, and Costa Mesa is a magical city. They're really, I got to stop saying magical. next show, I'll come up with a new adjective. But the, they'll go off.
Disney may come after you, is all I'm saying.
Well, they have, yeah. We're all in trouble
yeah.
now. They'll go, our job coach will take them, and there's one that they clean up T-Winkle Park. They just go through and they clean up. Sense of purpose, what we all want. My folks are 86 and 91 years old. And the reason they're that old and functional as independently as well is because they have a sense, made sure they always have a sense of purpose. It's no different. So that's our day program, our supported employment, as I meant, or supported living is also our independent living, helping with housing. And something, a footnote is WIPA, which you had mentioned, and please don't tell me, I have no idea what the acronym is for. That is from SSDI. That is the Social Security Department. They saw what we were doing and said, you know what? It's going to be more effective, more efficient to put this benefit navigator, for lack of a better term, inside the walls of Project Independence. Not just serving people with disabilities, but just people who were maybe out of work for a bit. How do they not lose their benefits when they go back to work?
Mm-hmm.
So we have those negotiators, those navigators within our walls. It's kind of neat. So we're setting what we will be doing, and we're working with our friends, our mutual friend Steve Gostin.
Yeah.
We are setting up the Project Independence Center, which we will have other facets that support our population within our offices.
And the point I was hoping you were going to detail is what I recall from the interview earlier.
I'm glad you brought that up. Steve mentioned it to me, but I wasn't sure if it was right.
But if somebody wants to employ one of these people, take a chance and say, I'm going to bring one of your clients in, and I'm going to give them a job.
Okay.
You don't just walk away. You're there to make sure they show up on time and they know what they're doing and whatnot.
Paul, that is you can see I'm struggling. I'm going to say Tom.
That's all right.
That is so important. Thank you. Our obligation and our duty is to the employer as well as the employee. Because we step in, we say, this is a legitimate job. You're looking for a student or whatever to come in and face products in
data entry, bag
in
something,
bagging,
whatever.
Or whatever. We will make sure those tasks are complete. We have a job coach. If they're in there for 6 hours a day, 4 days a week, we will have a job coach. If they need to be, if the learning curve is that flat or that slow, we will have a job coach on site coaching. And more often than not, like with any of us, the learning skills increase, so, and so the coach is there less and less. But our responsibility is to that employer.
Yeah, you don't just throw these people in and say good luck.
Absolutely.
You're there to support them throughout the process.
Well, that's
sure it happens.
We also don't want them, the employee, the client, to get discouraged.
You're setting up for success for everybody.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. How do people get involved?
Last 5 minutes. How do we get involved?
It's funny. Normally, this is, if I were your typical nonprofit, I'd say, volunteer.
Go to proindependence.org and check out the website. But what are some of the ways? Like volunteerism would be one.
We don't lend ourselves to volunteerism because we have staff for what people would often.
Volunteer for.
How
big is your staff?
135 people.
Oh, wow. It's a large organization.
And so we need people, and they're welcome to contact me directly, 714-549-3464.
Operator standing by.
Ask for Todd. And we're looking at this T-shirt again. We do our annual Walk for Independence. This year will be September 7th in T-Winkle Park. It's our 10th annual. It's our big fundraiser. We have 300 people show up, family, friends, many, many clients. It's a bundle of wonderful. It's more of a... we call it the meander. Meander won't look as good on the T-shirts. But
yeah, versus walk.
The meander. Follow our meander.
A lot of our clients, will there be food? Do I have to walk? No, you can meander. But we have all these partners you see here and many more set up shop, and we just have a wonderful morning on September 7th this year. We need many volunteers for that. I can use you immediately to help me secure new sponsorship. We just had a wonderful holiday season. Mm-hmm. We tripled what we made last year. Mm-hmm. In our holiday ask.
How would they help you find sponsors if some volunteer?
Often than not, call me and we will lay the groundwork. But more often than not, people are they're working at law firms. Mm-hmm. They're working at dentist office. Mm-hmm. They're going a lot of these are new. Honest One is my mechanic. And they said, oh my gosh, we mm-hmm. have a niece who does that. We wanted mm-hmm. the Lions Club. Paul Mitchell steps up. They have a whole little entourage that shows up there. There's a group called Art of Strength Fitness, which will be next week's Access to Adventure program. They're going to do workout regimens for 20 of our clients, mm-hmm. personalized to their abilities.
That's fantastic.
Steve Gostin, our new friend, is going to cater it. He's going to have his folks there.
That's
catering.
That's fantastic.
So come in for that.
So we can talk about this, I think, a lot longer. Okay, so... I would really like to extend an invitation, Todd. And if it works for you, maybe we shoot for the last episode in January of The Rad Life, which is will be on the 30th, Wednesday. I'd like to take this to a level where you've laid the groundwork for the organization, you've shared your own personal story. I'd like to basically extend an invitation to anybody that you would like to either bring into the studio to share on their own personal first
real life clients,
real life clients, board members, anybody you want to bring.
Employers.
We probably can accommodate about four or five people in the studio total, and then we can always have people also call and share.
Okay.
I really would like to have people hear from them for themselves directly from the source.
Oh, we joke that you wouldn't know it because I say wonderful too much, but I think I can speak well. But our best ambassadors are always our clients. Be ecstatic about it.
And you and I will talk, we'll provide.
Maybe we'll have Bobby Spitzberg come in, and he can talk at 40 years at Marriott Hotel.
I would love that.
It's his story. He won the International Employee Award at Marriott in 1997. That is huge.
That's huge.
They celebrate him. We'd love to bring him in.
Maybe
here
check
and have
out California too, or something for that.
Well, we'll start with the Rad Life. We'll see. But because I think I'd like to do a follow-up.
Thank you for the invitation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I got a call back.
So hopefully that works for you guys. We will hold the 30th for this. I really think in our continuing efforts to dispel some of the stuff. To have those difficult conversations maybe at some times. I don't think this is a difficult one. I think this is just a matter of being exposed
to an educational one.
Yeah. Have people actually share their own stories that they're comfortable with, their own successes, their sense of whatever. It may mean different for one person or the other. But I'm opening the doors. Bring them in. Have them call. On the 30th, on the Rad Life. Hopefully you guys can join us.
I would love to. Put us down.
And as far as I'm concerned, you can say magical and wonderful as many times as you like on this
show. Now I'm going to Webster's before I come on the third.
So thank you, everybody. Thanks, Todd.
Thank you.
For being here.
It was a pleasure.
Really
thank
a pleasure. Paul, Tom, thank
Paul,
you
Tom,
for handling and happy birthday handling the... thanks, everybody, for joining us. It really is episodes like this that make me want to continue to do the show now in its fourth year. I've got chills right now. I really get a chance to actually sit down with wonderful people doing wonderful work once a week, and it's a little vacation for me that keeps me rooted and anchored at the core of what it means to be involved. So whatever you do, it's 2019, please look at ways to basically give back, pay it forward, whatever you want to call it. I'm not going to use cliches, but just extend yourself in something that is really rewarding to your soul. And with that, I bid you adieu, and we'll see you next week.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only octalkradio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.